Tango Tango Papa 2030, January 14, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from southern Indiana. Hopefully I've got the levels on this thing adjusted okay. So obviously I'm driving. I'm on Interstate 65. I've been at, today's the 7th. It's still the 7th. So I've been back at work 3 days. So I came back on the 4th, so 5, 6, 7. So what I ended up doing was I had a load that I picked up in Russellville, Arkansas, and then that delivered to Indianapolis. And so after that, the oil change on the truck was due, and there were kind of like two to three things that needed to be worked on. I had a cooling system coolant leak, antifreeze leak somewhere, and I don't know, there was a light that they had replaced the last time, and I think they used the wrong color of light on the front of the truck on one side, and so they fixed that. And then the fuel-fired S-bar heater for the bunk, it works fine, but it kept saying maintenance required or something on the little display. So I told them about that as well. So I don't know. Didn't talk to them about what they worked on, but whatever. So in any case, I figured while I was there, my physical, the DOT physical, was expiring mid-February. So I decided, since I was already there, they did all the work yesterday. They got it. They close at 6 p.m. on Sunday. The shop does, but for the terminal, but so they got it done right about 6 p.m., but I decided I would just go ahead and spend the night there and get my physical renewed this morning, which I did, and then so got that taken care of. They sent a load that I picked up this evening at there in Indianapolis. It was a live load. And then that load delivers, it was going to deliver. I'm not going to be delivering it. Originally I was. It goes to East Point, Georgia. However, while I was sitting there waiting for them to finish loading, the night dispatch people sent me a message saying they had a driver that didn't have enough hours that was at Memphis, Indiana, which I would be going through anyway. Memphis, Indiana's in extreme southern Indiana, kind of just north of, it's about 16 miles north of the state line. It's north of Louisville, the Louisville area. So it's supposed to be there at 9 a.m. Eastern time on the 9th. Today was the 7th. So that's doable. And so I came back and I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so I'm on my way to Memphis, Indiana at this point. I've got 32 more miles to travel. And I will be swapping loads with the other driver. So, always tell when you're in Indiana because the roads are pretty rough. They tend to be pretty rough. In any case, the physical went fine. You know, I've never had a blood pressure problem. And so that remains true, even though I, you know, for the past couple of years, I did go ahead and buy one of those wrist blood pressure monitors. They're like $45. You can get them. They're really common. You can get them at Walgreens, Walmart, wherever. CVS, most pharmacies like that are going to carry that stuff. They probably sell them at Target or wherever. I think I got that one probably at Walgreens. I've had it a couple of years, and they work really good. And so I figure, you know, I might as well just be monitoring my blood pressure just in case. And so it's, you know, it's been fine. But so I passed the physical with no problems whatsoever. Of course, they used the one that goes on your arm. It was also automatic, I noticed. They had an automatic one as opposed to, you know, pumping it up and then watching the dial, you know. So they had a kind of a modern one that was ran on batteries, but it was an arm thing on the upper arm, and so that went fine, and you know, passed the rest of it pretty easily, and so got that taken care of. So I'm good for, you know, approximately two more years as far as the DOT physical goes. So, but in any case, she had a digital scale, you know, for the weight, and I know from past experience that my clothes, my pants, basically, or pants and shoes are sort of fairly heavy as well. The pants with all the stuff that I carry in my pockets plus the shoes is about 10 pounds, believe it or not. And so the weight, according to the, you know, with all my clothes on and the stuff in my pockets and my heavy shoes, was 179, which, you know, with no clothes on, it would have been about 169 point something. It was 179 point something. So that is actually at least a pound less or so, because it was 171 a couple of days ago. It was 171. Of course, your weight, you know, kind of goes up and down during the day as well as, you know, from one day to the next. But the general trend is downward as I continue not eating the major carbohydrate offenders, you know, including potatoes, pasta, rice and bread, and obviously no desserts, no snacks, and all those sugary whatever, nothing like that. Just cut all that stuff out. I'm getting still, you know, I do get a few carbohydrates in salads, and there's some in vegetables and what have you, but it's, you know, pretty small. And it's real food. It's not the processed crap, you know, that they add all the sugar to. So my weight is kind of on the way down, and I'm not starving myself. I'm eating, you know, for a long time I've ate twice a day. I've had two meals a day. That's been going on for quite some time. And my weight is pretty much consistently been for a number of years, it's been with no clothes on around 185. You know, sometimes it was 184, sometimes it, you know, might be 186, but It's been hovering for a long time around 185. And, you know, since I've, you know, I stopped eating the carbohydrates in early, kind of early December, beginning of December. And, you know, so it's been a little over a month, I think. I'd have to go back and look and see when I actually did it. But it's been over a month, about a month or a little over. And I'm down about 15 pounds. So it's hard to argue with results. But nonetheless, you know, I'm kind of excited. I'm not preaching at people about it, really. I just kind of mention it. And, but I'm, you know, when I talk to people, friends, what have you, relatives, I'm kind of excited that I'm, you know, that this weight is just kind of dropping off so easily. It's kind of shocking, really. You know, because my entire life I've kind of spent a good chunk of it being overweight. And it, you know, you go by the standard thing, well, it's all about the calories and you got to cut the calories and don't worry, you know, keep eating the carbohydrates. Don't worry about what you're eating. Just worry about the calories. And I believe that my entire life, and I've, you know, it's always been, it's a struggle, you know, and to find out that all you really got to do is, you really have to cut out the carbohydrates and then make sure you're, you know, make sure you're just not eating protein, but also make sure you're eating a fair amount of fat, like, and you get the good fat from things like fish. So I try to eat some sort of fish at least a couple of times a week, depending. I did today after I got done with that physical. By the way, the physical was interesting because it was in a Kroger. You know, this big Kroger store. It was there in Indianapolis, and it was called, or it said, you know, it was a kind of a place in there, and it was The Little Clinic was the name of it, and I guess it's a chain maybe around Indianapolis, but because I think I got the impression they have a bunch of, well, I know they had a bunch of other locations besides the one I went to. So, you know, the whole thing took place in there, and it was, there wasn't even a doctor there. The woman that did it was like an LPN, you know, or some sort of a nurse. It says on the paperwork, but in any case, that's the first time I've ever had a physical that was just done by a nurse, which is fine. It worked just fine. Because they, the big things that they're measuring, of course, are making sure you don't have any sugar in your urine, and as well as the blood pressure, because those are the two big things that take drivers, that give drivers fits when it's time to get their driver physical, the DOT physical. Those are the two giant things. Sugar in the urine, which is type 2 diabetes, as well as high blood pressure. And so I passed both of those, obviously, with flying colors. So, but in any case, it was in a Kroger. But so afterwards, after that, and it really didn't take a whole lot of time to do the physical, and she sent me on my way, and so I was hungry. It was in the mornings. It was probably around 10 o'clock or so. So there was across the street, there was a Denny's. And so I went to the Denny's, and the Denny's was fairly busy. But in any case, I ordered, I guess it's tilapia. It's a type of fish. I don't know what kind of fish it is, but you know, I see it here and there, tilapia, whatever. But in any case, the fish, and then, you know, and I also ordered a side salad with ranch dressing, which the side salad was actually pretty big by itself. And then there were two sides. So there were, you know, I got broccoli, and then the other side was fried zucchini and squash. So a mix of zucchini and squash, kind of fried. And they really piled on the zucchini and squash. I couldn't eat all of it. I tried, but that was the only thing that, you know, there was some left on the plate. I could have forced it, but I could, you know, it wouldn't have been pleasant trying to force, you know, kind of force feed myself and eat that stuff. So, but what I'm finding since I cut the carbs out is that, you know, I can eat until I'm full, and then whenever I really get a full signal, you know, the full signal is noticeable, and it's really difficult to eat past that. Whereas with carbohydrates, wasn't such a problem. You know, I could be stuffed and still eat, you know, still eat something else, especially if it was more carbohydrates. So I had a fairly sizable lunch, and then for later in the day, because the load didn't pick up until 6:30, so later in the day I got the company car again, because they had a couple of company cars there at that terminal, the company terminal. So I got that again, and there was a nearby Waffle House, and so I went over there, and I had a fairly sizable omelet and then three slices of tomato with it, you know, and that, and I had I ate everything, but towards the end, I was feeling pretty full, but I was able to eat all of it, and that's all I'll eat for today, and then I'll eat probably sometime early in the morning. Because I'm going to have to drive a fair chunk this evening in order to make this load work. You know, so I'm going to have to drive probably a good chunk of the night, and then stop tomorrow morning somewhere, and then take a break, 10-hour break or more, and then sort of depending on what's left, drive the rest of the way. Excuse me. So that I'm able to make it by 9 a.m. On the 9th. So today's Monday, so that would be Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. It's going to Groveland, Florida, which is looked like it was about 20 or 25 miles kind of west of Orlando. So anyway, now I'm down to 18 miles. What I'm finding, you know, I'm kind of excited about the diet because I'm shocked that it's this easy to start dropping pounds. It's just unbelievable. So this is kind of, you know, on the order of, you know, you believe your whole life that you go back, you know, and people believe their whole lives that the earth was flat, you know, and everybody knows, quote unquote, that the earth is flat, and then somebody comes along and says, no, the earth is round, it's actually round, and then they start they didn't like that. Didn't matter how much sense it made, they just rejected it because everybody knows that it was flat. And that's kind of the reaction that I'm sort of getting. So I've had people tell me, well, you have to eat carbohydrates, and it's not that easy, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, I'm telling, you know, just strangers about it. I'm, you know, kind of mentioning it to waitresses. Some of them they seem to all know about it. You know, people, because there's a lot of people that are cutting out the carbohydrates, and so a lot of them seem to know about it. A lot of them are fat, too. But not all of them. So there's a lot of people that seem to know about this, but, you know, so in any case, and some of them seem kind of excited by it, but anyway, I'm not really preaching at my family or preaching at anybody. It's somehow the topic just keeps coming up, and what's going to happen? I've already dropped 15 pounds in a month or so. What's going to happen? It's going to keep going. It's on the way down. It's going to keep dropping. And I kind of expect it may drop to 155, or it could drop to 145. I don't know. We'll find out. For years, I was at 155. At one time, I was even 145. This is as an adult. You know, I was like in my 20s, and it was, at one point, it was like 145. So, and then it was at 155 for years. So I expect that it's going to continue to drop. It doesn't really matter if it does or not. I'm going to keep eating this way. You know, the biggest, probably one of the biggest things is that I really don't have any indigestion or acid reflux. That's gone. I've been plagued with that my entire life. And it's just gone. That's huge. You know, I'm sleeping better. So, those things are huge. So, in any case, I'm going to kind of be annoying, because even if I don't really say a word, and I get, you know, I lose that many pounds, and I'm not starving myself. I'm eating some pretty big meals. That meal that I had at Denny's this morning was quite a bit of food. Even the only thing that I didn't eat, I forgot to tell her not to bring any bread or croutons. So I had to picked all the croutons out of the salad, and then there was a smallish piece of garlic bread that I didn't eat. So those were the only two things I didn't eat. Plus I drank two glasses of tea on top of that. So that was a substantial amount of, substantial volume of stuff to eat. So I'm certainly not starving myself, but it's probably going to annoy some people when they, you know, as time goes on and the weight continues to fall off, and even if I'm not talking about it, you know, obviously if I'm eating with them, I'm going to still be rejecting the carbohydrates. I have zero cravings for carbohydrates, no temptation whatsoever. By the way, when I was in the Denny's eating, I was sitting at this table, and there was this woman that, you know, the table was kind of at an angle, and then right next to it there was this row of booths. So there was this woman, and she was probably maybe around my age. She was in, you know, she was in her 60s, I think. But she was by herself. She's a big, heavyset woman sitting in the booth, and she had this. It was a dinner plate in front of her, and it had a gigantic sweet roll on it that was almost as big as the dinner plate. And so she had this gigantic sweet roll that was almost as big as the dinner plate, and it, of course it was covered with white frosting. And it looked really good. And so she was sitting there, and of course, like I say, this woman was pretty big, and she's probably diabetic, would be my guess, but I don't know. Certainly could have been, because she reminded me of somebody that I once knew that that did have type 2 diabetes that probably ended up killing her, and she was that big. But she sat there and she methodically ate it, and when she was done, she got up and then she paid and she was gone. She and then while I always observe people, but, you know, I can't help myself. I watch people, but I was also kind of aimed at the cash register. If I turned my head a little bit, I was kind of aimed also at the cash register. And so there was, while I was eating, there was this procession of people paying, and a big part of them obviously had gigantic guts. A couple of the waitresses had gigantic guts. Some of them were really thin, but some of them were just huge. And the sad thing is that I'm sure these people all are struggling with their weight, but you really don't have to struggle, because all you have to do is cut the carbs out. And I'm convinced that's true. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's a lot of people, including me, I thought that, well, as you get older, your metabolism goes down. Well, actually, yes, I believe it does. But most people live their entire lives on glucose. You know, because your body will fuel itself on two different things. You've got glucose and you've got fat, or ketones. So-called ketones. And so your body can go either way, but it's the preference, as far as what's going to get digested first, is always glucose. The body always tries to get rid of the glucose first, and I think that makes sense, because the body does not want glucose in the blood. That's a very bad thing, to have too much glucose in your blood, because what happens, you know how sticky, just imagine syrup, like your maple syrup or whatever, or honey's another one. Just imagine how sticky that is. And if that's free in your, if that's loose in your blood, if it's loose in your blood, just imagine how it causes the platelets to stick together. And then those platelets, that denies the blood supply to tiny, little microscopic blood vessels. And so that's why people with type 2 diabetes often end up having the terrible side effect of going blind, or having toes amputated, or feet amputated, or legs amputated. It's horrible. It's a horrible side effect. And it's just too much sugar in the blood. Is all it is. Just imagine how sticky the glucose is. Sugar's terribly sticky, and it causes the platelets to stick together, and then that's what causes the reduced circulation. So, but it's kind of sad that there's been so many people that have ended up with type 2 diabetes. They've ended up with heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of horrible things that go along with it. They're much more likely if you have type 2 diabetes. So, and it's really sad, because the whole thing could have been avoided by just getting rid of the carbohydrates. But most of those people, including me, before I know what I know now, if to think about losing weight, I was still eating carbohydrates and just trying to reduce the amount. And somehow I just didn't have enough willpower somehow. But it really is kind of like everyone believes that, they believe what they believe about how hard it is to lose weight, and that you have to really struggle, and it's going to come back if you do lose it. Most people, it comes back, and it does, and it's because they're still eating carbohydrates. You got to get rid of the carbohydrates. There's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. You have to get rid of them. Now, if you've got type 1 diabetes, that's a different, kind of a different thing, and you've got to really pay attention to what you're doing, because a type 1 diabetic has, because it's usually an autoimmune disease that sort of kills off the cells in the pancreas that make insulin, and you must have insulin or you die. You've got to have that's a hormone. Insulin is a hormone that regulates all kinds of things, and you must have it or you will die. And so therefore, insulin also helps regulate sugar. And so if you're type 1 diabetic, you really have to pay attention to what you're doing. And I think even a type 1 diabetic would probably benefit a lot by cutting out all the nasty carbohydrates. They still have to, nowadays they kind of teach them to take their own blood sugar level and kind of adjust the insulin accordingly. But I think they would be much better off if they got rid of the type 2, got rid of the all of the carbohydrates. Because even type 1 diabetics suggested they eat carbohydrates, and that's really bad. So, because if it's bad for a normal person, just imagine how bad it is for someone that has a body that produces zero insulin. So, I continue with this, and another benefit is my energy level is really stable, and it seems to be pretty high. I don't have the thing where I, eat and then feel like I'm, need to take a nap or whatever. That's all gone. And the energy, during the day, my energy level stays about the same, I'm feeling better than I have in some time. I just generally feel like I got more energy. So, it's really quite an amazing thing. But, so it's, like I say, it's going to be annoying to a lot of people that are around me that don't want to believe that giving up the carbohydrates could have such a profound effect. So, and I guess maybe a lot of people, they say they are addicted and they crave carbohydrates. Well, you can get rid of the cravings. What you have to do is just taper it off. Because you have bacteria in your gut, and there's pretty good evidence that whatever mix of bacteria you have in your gut communicates with the nerves that line your gut, the so-called second brain in your body. You've got enough nerves that line your gut that makes up about one-third of the mass of your brain. And so it's almost like a little brain in your gut. And there's some pretty strong evidence that the bacteria in your gut kind of communicate with those nerves, and then those nerves obviously have a direct beeline to your brain, and that tells you what to crave. And so, in other words, the nerves in your gut are telling you to what to crave. And so, if you change those, you can change those gut bacteria by what you eat. And so, if you change, you kind of slowly change what you eat. You don't have to necessarily do it dramatically, but change it over a period of a week or two, taper that off, and then the bacteria in your gut are going to change accordingly. So you're going to end up with ones that far fewer ones that expect carbohydrates. So I'm almost to my exit, so I'm going to go ahead and stop talking now. So that didn't take long. I stopped at the truck stop and gone, I'd say, inside of 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes. So that was pretty quick. So now I'm on my way to Groveland, Florida. It's now 11:05 p.m. Eastern Time. So I've been driving for a while. After I pick that up, I'll still probably drive another probably 5 hours, maybe 5 hours or so. It just depends before I stop. So 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'll probably stop around maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. So, in any case, I can't remember. I don't think I remember to put it in the last podcast. Maybe I did. I was watching this Netflix series. It's a new series that just dropped, and it's called Tidying Up. I think I did talk about it. Tidying Up, as in tidy. You clean something up. Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. It's a Japanese woman that has a consultant business. Tidying, teaching people how to, you know, kind of get rid of all their excess stuff and be happy with what they have. And so the shows are very clear about the entire process. There's about 8 episodes, I think, on Netflix, and they're very clear about her process. Now, I probably, if I had time, I would probably follow the process and the way she suggests, but as it is, I don't, you know, I'm only home maybe I'm home 5 days out of the month typically. And so I think what I will do is apply the process to my master bedroom closet. That one really needs it, because it's got a bunch of clothes in there that just, they need to go to Goodwill or to the dump or wherever. Bunch of clothes and old boots and old shoes and what have you, and stuff that I'll never wear again. And, you know, it just kind of needs to go, and the whole thing needs to get reorganized and, you know, with a lot less stuff. And so I do think, you know, I'm kind of enthusiastic about tackling that maybe the next time I get home. Really work on that and see if I can't get that closet itself sort of straightened out. Because I think if I attack it, I can probably have the whole thing done certainly in a day. It's going to take a number of hours to kind of do the whole thing realistically, but so I think I can have the whole thing done maybe in a day, and then as I say, I have stuff maybe that I take to Goodwill or just to the garbage as required. So and then maybe in the future I'll you know, kind of tackle some other, maybe the kitchen is another one that really needs it. I've kind of ended up with you know, like excess Tupperware from my, you know, my parents gave to me and what have you, because they had it left over. And so then whenever they moved out of their house, a lot of that the kitchenware stuff ended up in my house, and a lot of it is just useless. It, you know, for me, it's completely useless. And it's, you know, what I've ended up with is I've got, you know, a pretty good amount of storage space, but what ends up happening is that the storage space ends up full of crap that you don't know what it is, and then you end up with stuff that's out on the counter because you can't really stuff it into the cabinet, so you end up with stuff on the counter and what have you. And so the whole idea really is to trim back what you have. Her concept is that it must bring joy to you, whatever it is. You go through each item, and that item should spark joy in you, is her language. And if it doesn't, then you tell it thank you, and it goes in either a donation pile or the trash. And psychologically, that does make sense, because if you may feel kind of guilty. Let's say you have a shirt or pants or something that you're a coat that you or shoes that you bought that you never wore. And then you feel guilty about it because you never wore it. You know you're never going to wear it, and yet you just kind of keep it because you kind of feel guilty because you spent the money on it. And so if you just tell thank you, at least it's by her concept, you're telling it thank you, but you taught me, I didn't ever wear you, but you taught me that I didn't want you. Now I know better what I want and what I don't want. So that does make sense from a psychological standpoint. Excuse me. So, in any case, I kind of look forward to, you know, tackling some of that. And like I say, I think I can do the closet probably in a day. And, you know, kind of really go through it and get it straightened out. And be much happier with the end result. So overall, I've got, you know, and throughout my house, probably in most of the rooms, maybe with the exception of one, there are things in my house that do not spark joy. So there, you know, there are things that, you know, using this criteria, I can now just kind of easily dispose of. And as I say, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I can't, since I am only home 5 days at a time, I can only do so much at a time. But having watched all those episodes on Netflix, it's at this point, it's actually going to be pretty easy to breeze through that stuff. Because, you know, it's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty obvious to me, you know, which things spark joy and which things don't. And the things that don't, hey, get rid of them. So the idea is, you know, if you go through everything in your house, and you have only items that spark joy, whether it's clothing or dishes or whatever it is, if you have only items that spark joy, then obviously, and you get rid of all the other stuff, obviously you're going to be much more appreciative of what you have, because it's you know, you only have items that spark joy. And at the same time, you can take this beyond that and apply it to, let's say you're going to buy clothing. Let's say you need some new clothes or whatever it is you need to buy. And you're not just mindlessly buying it. You apply the criteria right there before you, while you're making the buying decision. Does this spark joy? And if the answer is no, then don't buy it. There's been plenty of us that have, you know, I think everyone has bought stuff that they weren't really happy with later. It wasn't what they thought it was. You know, you bought it, really, at the end of the day, you bought it for the wrong reasons. I know I've done that plenty of times with stuff. So, and I just guess I sort of accepted it as just the kind of the price for living, because, as I've said before, you know, some things that I, some purchases that I make end up being great, and then others not so much. And I think it really does go back to kind of knowing, really maybe honing the sense of what really sparks joy for you and what doesn't. And you know, kind of letting go of the silly emotional attachments you may have for some of the junk. And there's a lot of it that you gets kind of tucked away, hidden away in cabinets, and you don't even realize you have it anymore. It's sort of forgotten. So as I'm talking now, it is late in the evening on January 9th. I delivered the load that I had this morning in Groveland, Florida. And so I left there, maybe before noon, a little bit before noon, or I don't remember exactly without looking. So I left there, and then I went to a truck stop that was about 29 miles away, Wildwood, Florida, back to Wildwood, because that's, I'd stopped there earlier and got fuel. So I went back to Wildwood, and then I took a 10-hour, it was actually a little bit longer than 10-hour break. So when the 10-hour break was up, I filled the reefer trailer up with fuel, and then at that same exit, there's a truck wash, and so I got the trailer washed out, and so now I'm on my way to Jacksonville, Florida. I have to pick a load up there that delivers to Cookeville, Tennessee. And if I'm thinking properly, Cookeville is kind of in between Knoxville and Nashville. Maybe a little closer to Knoxville than it is to Nashville, along Interstate 40. So I will drive a good chunk of the way tonight and then stop somewhere tomorrow morning and take another 10-hour break, or longer probably. And then and then leave from there and time it so that I can arrive at the destination by 8 a.m. on the 11th. Today's the 9th, so then I have the 10th, and then have to be there at 8 a.m. on the 11th. And I think Cookeville is probably in the central time zone. I think it is. Knoxville is in the eastern time zone, so, and it's west of Knoxville. So anyway, I'm probably, annoying my friends with the, all this diet talk, and I may be annoying my audience too, I don't know, sorry about that, but, this podcast has always been, based around what I'm thinking about currently. And right now I'm still kind of really thinking about this low carbohydrate, I don't really want to call it a diet because I've just cut out the major offending carbohydrates is all I've done, and it's really had some dramatic effects. It's only been maybe a month or a little bit over a month at this point. And I know I've lost at least 15 pounds. I'm feeling more energetic than I have in some time. It's really kind of amazing, the effect that it's had. No more acid reflux, and if you've never had acid reflux, then you don't know if you've had it and then it's gone. I mean, as in completely gone, then you can understand what it is. But if you've never had it, then consider yourself pretty lucky. But most people end up with some sort of indigestion or acid reflux, and it's because of the diet that we eat. That's so packed with the carbohydrates. So you know, and I've had some dry skin reactions, primarily on the bottom of my feet that I've had, and I've talked about it. I've had them for the past several years, and I had to get some steroid cream from my dermatologist to manage that. Periodically, I would have to apply the steroid cream and, you know, kind of put it on there and then wrap my foot with, or both feet, actually, with plastic bags or saran wrap. The Walmart sacks, Walmart-type plastic bags work great for that if you don't have saran wrap. And let that, you know, kind of sit there for a couple of days, and then that would sort of suppress the immune reaction, because basically it was the doctor described me as sort of an immune reaction against dry skin, is what he said. But I don't know it, because I could apply stuff to it and it would seem like it would soothe it a little bit. At least it would get rid of the itching, but if I could get the immune system reaction to kind of calm down, you know, because it would throb, you know, when I was laying flat on my back and my, you know, then your heels are sort of, if you're laying flat on your back and your heels are sort of on, you know, kind of on the bed, you know, and the bones and your heels, or heels were sort of pressing down, and that would, I could feel that throbbing, because there was just this kind of an immune reaction going on, an allergic reaction to dry skin is what he said it was. But in any case, for the past month, that has it's slowly getting better, and there's no more throbbing. It's not red anymore, especially on my right heel, where it was at on the left side. That's where it started at a number of years ago. On my left foot, along the left edge, that is almost healed up at this point, and then the right one is in the process of healing up. It's, you know, it's not happening overnight, but it is, does seem to be happening. Something's happening, and I'm not. You know, it's been a couple, three months since the last time I applied the steroid cream that the doctor prescribed. So that's getting better, and the only thing I've really changed is my diet. I cut out the carbohydrates. Now, another thing that I also decided to do was take some, you know, I've watched a ton of videos about vitamins, you know, and different things. And so I am taking a few vitamins. I'm not taking a bunch of them, but I'm taking a few that I bought at, ended up buying at my, I think it was, did I buy them at Sam's, either Sam's Club, I think I bought them at Sam's Club, or I might have bought some of them at Walmart or whatever. But some basic ones. Of course, I was taking some vitamin C to start with, and then, you know, so I've got, what, like a, was it vitamin D3, I'd have, it's not very many, I've got like four that I'm taking besides the vitamin C, so there's a total of five, and I'm just taking one thing a day of it. You know, so there's magnesium and potassium, zinc, and vitamin, I think it's a vitamin D, I believe, a D3, plus the C. And so those are the vitamins that I'm, you know, and I don't remember to take them every day. I try to, but so it may be every other day. And that could possibly be having an effect on my heel, or, you know, my feet, but I think it's primarily the diet, but it is does seem to be clearing up. It's kind of interesting how that's happening. and it's, you know, I can try to apply lotions or whatever to the outside, but that really, I think, is the problem. It's an internal problem. So, you know, and then kind of exacerbated by, you know, the immune system sort of attacking the dry skin area. So it's probably just a lack of, I think it's exacerbated by sugar, you know, overload of carbohydrates. So this is all pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting stuff, and it's just cutting out carbohydrates. So I can't help but talk about it, because that's kind of, it's kind of hard for me not to talk about it, because that's kind of what I'm thinking about right now. But the thing that is shocking is that most people are, you know, they're just eating, they're eating their diet, and they think that, you know, they've kind of bought the narrative or the story that carbohydrates are good and that fats are bad, and if you want to be healthy, you've got to get rid of the fats. And so then they're eating all this junk, and plus all the carbohydrates, and it's really ends up having a dramatically negative impact. And people can't, you know, a lot of people have heard of low carbohydrate diets, but they're not really. I'm wondering how many people have actually tried it. I think there's some of them that have, and maybe try it for a while or something, or maybe they just kind of half-heartedly do it. I talked to this one waitress, and she said, well, I can't give up bread. You know, and of course, she's way overweight, you know, but she said, can't give bread up. Well, trade your bread for, you know, eat your bread and trade it for perhaps your eyesight one day. Or have your bread and trade it for toes being amputated. Or trade it for maybe a leg or two being amputated. Those are not trades I'm willing to make. Those are, you know, I've had people say, well, you're going to die of something. Well, that's true, but you can die some pretty miserable deaths. You know, you can go through some pretty bad misery before you actually die. So, but the remarkable thing is, if you could, you know, and if you're overweight, which a lot of people are, you know, try this for a month. You know, just try getting, you know, do what I've done and just cut out the four major carbohydrates: the pasta, the bread, the rice, and the potatoes. Just cut those completely out. Cut out all the desserts and the candies and the cakes and the cookies. Cut them out. And try that for a month and see if it improves. See what happens. See how you feel. And chances are that, you know, the thing that is just dramatic. It didn't take long for me to start experiencing some dramatic impact from it. Well, of course, the biggest dramatic impact was the instant relief from any acid reflux. That was the instant gratification. That was instant gratification right there. Cut out the carbs, cut out the acid reflux instantly. So at least that's the way it worked for me. It may not work that way for everybody, but I bet you it probably would have a dramatic impact if it didn't completely cut it out. So that was the biggest dramatic impact, immediate dramatic impact, and then I immediately started shedding weight, and that I believe that's continuing. So kind of hard not to talk about it when it has that kind of an impact. And then the other thing is, apart from that, is the fact that I have a lot more energy than I did. I'm really feeling good, you know, and that's probably not a great description, or a word picture, but I am really feeling good, and there's no, I'm not having any kind of joint pains or anything along those lines. And occasionally, for the past number of years, I would have little aches and pains and, you know, kind of different joints, and, you know, and it would last for maybe a day or two in this joint and that joint, and that's all kind of cleared out at this point. So, I think really what's going on is the carbohydrates are kind of inflammatory to the body, to a lot of parts of the body. Grains, they're in breads and what have you. Grains, which includes, by the way, corn. Corn is not a vegetable. Corn is actually a grain. And grains are bad. Grains, you should, try cutting grains out. Because they can be very inflammatory, and it kind of depends also on your physiology. But certainly with I've cut any kind of starch, grains, bread, that's all cut out, and so it's having a dramatic impact. And so sorry if you're, I guess you can skip over this if you're tired of hearing me talk about it, but that is what I'm thinking about, and so that's kind of what I feel motivated to talk about. But, if you're interested, try it for a month. Just try cutting out those, as many carbohydrates as possible. I still am eating some carbohydrates in the form of vegetables. And also in salads, there's a little bit of carbohydrates, in the salads. Maybe a little bit in ranch. If you get, like, the real dressing, there's going to be a little bit of carbohydrate in it. The last day or two, I've just been kind of craving nuts, of all things. So this evening, I was in truck stop, and I looked through all of their bags of crap, and they actually had some almonds, just natural almonds. They weren't toasted, or they didn't have anything done to them. They're just natural almonds. So I bought a package of those, and I've kind of been nibbling on those, and those are actually quite good. But I was just sort of, it's kind of weird. I was craving nuts, and I haven't, generally I don't, it's not something I would crave. If I was going to crave anything, it would not be nuts. But I was just kind of, craving nuts, and so they happened to have some in there, and, so I've been kind of eating on those, and those are pretty, the almonds are actually pretty good, and there's a little carbohydrate in that. It's not super high carbohydrate. Almonds are relatively low carbohydrate, so it's not anything that's going to have some, it's not like I'm eating teaspoons and teaspoons of sugar. I was talking to a friend earlier, and he was reading on this website about the different content of Starbucks. They're different drinks, they're different coffee drinks, and the amount of carbohydrates, and in some cases, there's some cases where a 16-ounce coffee drink, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the names of them, had like 10 in excess of 10 teaspoons of sugar, which is shocking. 10 teaspoons of sugar. You know, back when I was a kid and I would, you get your tea and you'd put sugar in the tea. Typically, I thought it was like a really extra, kind of over the top by putting 4 teaspoons of sugar into a glass of tea and stirring it up. You know, but a 16-ounce cup and you're putting in 10 teaspoons, they must be warming it up so that they can get even more sugar into it. Have to be. Because if you tried to put 10 teaspoons of sugar in a glass of iced tea, you could stir and stir and stir and never get it to... you'd always have some settling at the bottom. Some sugar would settle at the bottom. You'd have to warm it up in order to get it to sort of absorb into the liquid. 10 teaspoons? My God. That's insane. And yet... they're selling it, and it seems legitimate, and people are certainly addicted to it, but nonetheless, it is insane. So, it's now a few days later. I am currently at Girard, Ohio, on my way to deliver to, I can't remember the name of the town. I'll probably remember it. No, Perrysburg, Ohio. It's outside of Toledo, I believe. So deliver there tomorrow afternoon at 6 p.m. So have a little bit of time on this load, which is good because if I push too hard, then I get to the point where I'm always running out of time. And if there's a little time on the loads, then, sometimes I can never quite reach the point where I'm running out of time. So that's always good because once I get down to where, I really have to try to maintain a high average speed and, end up worrying about running out of time or not being able to deliver the load, I'd rather avoid that if I can. So, anyway, things have kind of been going along about the same. I'm still on the low-carb diet, and I believe I'm going to stay on the low-carb diet. I have no idea what my weight is at this point, since, I have no way of... weighing myself here in the truck, and I really don't care about carrying scales around here in the truck. I'll find out if I've lost any more weight once I make it home. I'm due home on the 25th, so that's about 11 days from now. Today's the the 14th, so about 10 or 11 days I should be home. And so then I can weigh myself without any clothes or shoes on and find out what my weight is. So that should be an interesting thing to find out. But even let's say that I haven't lost any more weight. I've just stuck at losing 15 pounds. I would stay on this diet anyway, and one of the major reasons why I would do it, there are several, but one of the major ones, huge benefit I've mentioned before, is the lack of indigestion and the absence, the total absence of acid reflux. That is huge. That's a gigantic benefit. To be able to just completely eliminate that. Not only that, I've got very little gas. And there, for large periods of my life, I just thought, hey, I'm plagued with gas. I'm just one of those people that has a kind of a gas problem from digestion. And it's not true. It's the diet that was causing the gas. It's not, you know, it's not my body chemistry that was doing it. It was the stupid diet that was causing it. It was carbohydrates, in fact. And cutting those out has pretty much, there's always going to be just a slight amount of gas with digestion, but it's, you know, negligible at this point. It's really quite amazing. So that is a gigantic benefit. Another benefit that's kind of nebulous, and you can hear, you know, you can hear me say it or other people say it, but you know, it's, I guess it, I can best describe it as it's a kind of a mental clarity that has happened with this diet. Other people have remarked about it. They've talked about it. It's sort of like a mental fog has lifted, and that happens, you know, after you've been on the diet. I think after I was on it for about three weeks or so is when I really noticed. You know, I kind of noticed it, and I was skeptical. You know, when they were talking about that, I thought, well, yeah, that'd be nice if that happens, but I'm not counting on it. Well, it does, that effect, I think, does exist. I'm experiencing it, and it's a great effect. The brain simply works better if it's burning mostly fat as opposed to mostly carbohydrates. So that is a huge benefit, and that's that. Another benefit is less body, you know, kind of inflammation. And inflammation is another one of those sort of a nebulous term. You know, people talk about inflammation and inflammatory foods, but it really is true. Since I've been on this diet, I got rid of the carbohydrates, major carbohydrate offenders, and I'm noticing that digestion seems to work a lot better, and just generally, I don't feel as bloated, because I was even though I really wasn't overeating, I'd eat twice a day before I stopped eating the carbohydrates, and I would feel kind of bloated, and and these feelings are kind of difficult to pinpoint, but generally speaking, I'm feeling great, better than I have in some time. I've got a lot more energy. The energy is very consistent. I'm not, you've always heard people say, oh, you know, you after you eat, you know, you eat a big meal, and then you kind of feel like you're really lethargic, and you want to maybe sleep a couple hours after you eat. You feel like you just want to, you know, lay down and maybe take a nap or whatever. And the general excuse has always been, well, all of the blood is, the reason that's happening is because all of the blood is going to your stomach. Your stomach is somehow monopolizing your blood supply, and that's just not true. You know, the stomach has its job, you know, it does whatever it does, but, you know, the stomach's job is done. The primary job with your stomach, it's not like your stomach is working to squeeze, you know, it's, you know, with muscles, it's not working to squeeze the food to digest it. It doesn't work that way. What the stomach is doing is the stomach has, if you've got a healthy stomach, you've got some pretty potent hydrochloric acid. The stomach has produces and contains within it very strong hydrochloric acid, and that's part of every healthy stomach. And so whenever you eat, your food kind of drops down into this you know, this kind of a hydrochloric, sour hydrochloric acid mix, and that's really what is part of the digestion process. And so that really doesn't require, you know, it's not requiring any extra blood. So that's just a thing that someone came up with, and it's really false. I can tell you what's actually happening. You know, you eat your meal that's packed with carbohydrates, and that ends up, depending on the carbohydrates that you ate, that ends up spiking your insulin, pushes that, or, you know, but it's, first of all, it spikes the sugar. Because when you eat something, you know, that sugar usually is, depending on the type of carbohydrate it is, the sugar is just dumped right into your, often it's dumped right into your bloodstream. And so then your body does not want sugar in your bloodstream. That's bad. So the body really tries to tightly regulate the sugar, the amount of sugar. So, you know, average person has a gallon and a half of blood. And within that gallon and a half of blood, you've got 1 teaspoon of sugar, 5 grams, 1 sugar cube. Which is pretty dilute. And so then if sugar starts going into your bloodstream, glucose, in the form of glucose, then your body, your pancreas says, hey, we got to regulate that. We got to keep it at 5 grams. And so then it pumps insulin into the blood, which is a hormone one of its functions is to push that sugar down. You know, push it into the muscles, push it into various cells. And if those cells can only hold so much, and so then what it does, it pushes it into fat if it can. You know, if everything's working the way it's supposed to, it pushes it into the fat cells. Got to get it out of the blood. And so then you can burn 2 to 4 hours worth of carbohydrate. If you're the average person like I was, and you're just always burning carbohydrates, within a couple hours, usually that starts to drop off, and you know, with 2 to 4 hours, you're hungry again, ready to eat, and you just ate, except you're fat, and you're just getting fatter. Maybe you feel bloated, and the digestive process is all weird, and then yet you feel like, hey, I want to eat some more. It's because you're running out of energy already, even though you got all that fat, you know. So it's and when the insulin pushes the sugar level down, then carbohydrates are all kind of burned up, then you feel kind of, you get this insulin sort of a sugar crash, and you feel lethargic, and all the blood went to my digestive system, or all the blood went to my stomach. No, it didn't. You're in a sugar crash. You know, and I was thinking today, because they talk about, different sorts of substance abuses, you know, where people, let's say they're using marijuana while they're driving now, that's getting to be a problem, or their alcohol's obviously have been a long time term problem as far as drunk driving. But what about people that are eating sugar and then they have this sugar crash? Which I've experienced that plenty of times in the past, where in the middle of the day, I'd have a weak moment and I'd say, well, I'm going to get a malt, or I'm going to get a shake, you know, maybe from McDonald's or wherever. And so I get this big shake, maybe Dairy Queen, big vanilla shake. And then I eat the thing and I know what's going to happen. A couple hours later, I get this overwhelming sense of drowsiness. And oftentimes I wouldn't be able to stop because I have to be on schedule. I have to go. I have to get where I'm going. The clock's ticking. And that's actually dangerous. That's a dangerous situation to be in. And I'm wondering how many crashes, and I'm talking about car crashes or truck crashes, how many vehicle accidents happen because people are in a what can best be described as almost like a sugar coma, where they have this, they've eaten a bunch of sugar, sugary whatever, and then they kind of crash, you know, and get feel drowsy, or even you don't, wouldn't even have to eat sugar. Let's say you just ate a big meal, you had a big lunch, and then you're trying to drive, and a couple hours later, you just feel like, oh my God, I'm feeling drowsy, and I'm wondering how many vehicle accidents are caused by that. And of course, they're, you know, that's never reported. That's never reported. You know, why is sugar so addictive? It's because sugar, actually, they've done, you know, you can find MRI data on the internet pretty easily, imaging data. Sugar uses the same areas, it makes the same areas light up in the brain that cocaine does. And so sugar is as addictive. It's as addictive as cocaine is, and it lights up the same reward centers in the brain that cocaine does. So it's a very bad thing, and it, besides that, it does terrible things to the body. So it causes all kinds of inflammation. One of the things that's improving, I've had this dry heel, or it's like a dry skin on the heels of my feet, to the point where at one point I even got it go back several years. I even got a bacterial infection because the skin on my left foot, the heel, was cracked so badly. Bacteria infection got in there, and fortunately, I always carry erythromycin with me, and so I recognized what was happening, because if you ever get a bacterial infection in your skin, it'll get very painful and red, and then you may see streaks coming off of it, and if that's the case, you'd better do something about it quick. You need an antibiotic, because those streaks are signs of blood poisoning. And if a bacterial infection gets directly in your blood, you're in big trouble. You know, that can easily kill you. So, but I had this dry skin on my feet, and, you know, I thought, well, that's just, just unfortunate. I've got this dry skin on my feet. Well, little did I know that it was, I would change my diet, and that's actually getting better. One of the things I'm still watching a lot of nutritional keto, the videos about the keto diet, ketogenic diet, low-carb diet. And one of the things that I was really surprised, and I don't think I may have heard this statistic before, but our skin, we completely replace our skin, our bodies completely replace our skin every 2 months. So about every 2 months, you've got completely new skin. It's been completely replaced. That's pretty dynamic. That's really amazing that it would get replaced virtually every 60 days. Now, of course, it's always in progress of replacement, but it's about a 60-day, about a 6 to 8 week cycle. So it's pretty amazing that the body is able to do that. So, but you really need the right building blocks, and you really need to get rid of the inflammation. And sugar, carbohydrates, the quantities that we eat them in, of course, there's different types of sugars, but really causes problems, severe problems, So there are a bunch of reasons. Besides, if I lose weight on this, hey, fine, that's great. But the other side effects that I'm experiencing, or the side benefits, make it worth doing. Another thing I'm finding is that it's impossible for me to overeat without eating any carbohydrates. Tonight was a great example. I went inside this, I'm at a Petro truck stop, so I went inside and I ended up eating off of the buffet. So, you know, that includes a salad bar, and then they had their buffet items, and so I got a salad, and it wasn't a huge salad. I got a good amount of salad, and, you know, with ranch dressing. And then after I did that, I went to the buffet portion, and I, you know, they had several different types of meat, and so I ended up getting some baked chicken and some pork that they had, as well as a piece of fish. And I didn't get a whole lot of meat. I just, you know, I got those three things, and so I ate, you know, by the time I was done eating the meat, I was full. And I really couldn't, you know, I thought, well, I could go back and get more if I want it. You know, say it, after all, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. And I couldn't do it. I really had to sort of force down the last few bites of the meat. And, you know, the idea that I would go back and get more was extremely unappealing, to say the least. Whereas had it been a meal of carbohydrates, I would have gone back. I would have probably gone back and got more of this and more of that, and you know, especially if there was any dessert, maybe. I would have been in danger of doing that and then not getting the full signal, you know, until about maybe 30 minutes after I quit eating. Then, you know, all of a sudden I would just feel like I was going to blow up, you know, bloated. And, of course, then it's too late. So, as long as I'm not eating carbohydrates, you know, I'm ending up with a distinct full signal. You know, my brain saying, you're full. And once I've got that full signal, and once I've got that full feeling, eating any more is really, it becomes unpleasant. You know, the idea of eating more after I feel full on non-carbohydrate foods, the idea of trying to eat more would be it's actually very unpleasant. So that's another benefit of it, because carbohydrates bypass the signal, and if you're mixing carbohydrates with non-carbohydrate foods, it aborts the whole process. And so, you know, then, you know, even though you're eating non-carbohydrate foods with carbohydrates, the whole thing's aborted, and you can still end up overeating the non-carbohydrate foods. So carbohydrates do something really strange to the body. And so, you know, and we really shouldn't be eating them. You know, the quantities we're eating them, it's utterly ridiculous. And it's really making people sick. So, but anyhow, I've got about three short clips, voice file clips from Joel that he sent me via Voxer. I've listened to the first one, these are just short clips, and so I'll play them, and I may do a start stop on them.
Hey Tom, listening to your last, and there is a documentary, and actually it's right now, it's on YouTube, it's in the free section on YouTube, called Fathead, which is a good documentary. Not sure if you've seen that or not, but it talks about how our brain and how our body needs fat, and how the low fat craze actually made people unhappy and a whole bunch of other things. So just something I thought I'd share with you.
Thank you, Joel. Yeah, I think I probably watched that on Netflix. It's been on Netflix for some time. I think it was Morgan Spurlock, maybe. If I'm thinking the right one. So yeah, you do need, there are some essential fats, and without them, you'll get sick and die. And there's also some, essential amino acids, that, Without them, you'll get sick and you'll die. But there are no essential carbohydrates. We do not need carbohydrates. Our bodies can run perfectly well without them. The glucose that the five grams of glucose that your blood needs are happily manufactured by the liver. The liver, there's this process that the liver does called gluconeogenesis, and it's happy to make those 5 grams of carbohydrates for you. You don't need to, be adding in supplemental carbohydrates. The supplemental carbohydrates are what's killing us. You know, and I can tell you why do people, they get so addicted to carbohydrates? And apart from the brain part of it, just generally what happens is that carbohydrates appeal to the wrong side of our ego. Just imagine, you've got a big thing of ice cream and maybe you pour chocolate on top of it or imagine the most beautiful banana split, or you go to a restaurant like Denny's, or another one would be Steak and Shake if you have those in your area, and you order the ice cream, and they the thing is they bring it out in this gorgeous looking kind of a tall glass thing, and it's got the whipped cream and the red maraschino cherry on top. And of course, it looks beautiful. It looks delicious. You just want to devour it with your eyes before you devour it otherwise. But all that sweet appeals to what? It appeals to your ego. It makes you feel good. You feel so good. It's like you're feeling like you're God. Whereas steak tastes good. It's not in the same way that ice cream does. Steak tastes good, not in the same way that, pick your favorite pie or your favorite dessert. It's not the same thing. I've noticed that when I eat my salad and I enjoy the salad, but I don't eat the salad the same way I would eat a big bowl of ice cream with cookies. I'm not eating a steak or an omelet the same way that I would devour, decadent dessert, like devil's food cake, for example, or cheesecake would be another one. Don't devour it the same way. So carbohydrates have an appeal that really kind of goes beyond simply eating to survive, and that is what people become addicted to. It's not just, well, I have to eat food in order to to satisfy my hunger. I have to eat. It goes beyond that, what I'm finding on this diet, as I said, is if I'm hungry, then I'm going to eat. I'm going to do something to eat. But at the same time, When I'm full and I'm not eating carbohydrates, when I'm full, my brain says, hey, you're full, you stop. And it becomes unpleasant if I try to push beyond that. Whereas with carbohydrates, the sky's the limit. I'm willing to completely bloat out to keep cramming more in with nothing to tell me when to stop. So carbohydrates are, they're pretty bad. Joel's got some more comments. So once again, here's Joel.
Hey, Tom. It's Joel. I'm going to share a link here below of what won the best of CES, which I'm shaking my head. This
the best of CES is the Impossible Burger. And I'm listening to Twit as they talk about this, and I'm like, okay. It requires probably more processing to make this stupid burger than it does to actually raise meat. At least it could, you know. I don't know. I just think it's a little crazy, and it's definitely not something that should be best of CES.
Okay, well, thanks again, Joel. And so I did read the article he included the link to in Voxer. And what it is, it's basically a quote-unquote burger, like a hamburger type thing that is made out of, you guessed it, not meat, but plants. It's a burger that's made out of plants. And if you read down in the article, guess what one of the main components is? Of course, is soybeans. Good old soy messes with your endocrine system, messes with your hormones, among other things. Don't eat soy. So, you know, but in the article, it is full of the cliche things like meat is... you know, it requires all kinds of resources to produce, and that this soy burger has a smaller footprint, quote unquote, environmental footprint, my rear end. You know, they're using all kinds of chemicals to try to make this thing. I wouldn't, you know, no way would I eat one of those. God only knows what it does to you. If you consume, you know, I wouldn't even eat one of them. I wouldn't even taste it. Sorry. Call me closed-minded or whatever. Forget it. So, you know, and then the idea that cattle are destroying the earth, and, you know, it's a waste of land use to let cattle graze. Well, have you ever stopped to think that there's a lot of land that can only grow grass? You're not going to be able to farm it, but there is a lot of land that cattle can graze, because the land sustains grass, but it won't sustain much else. And so then the cattle can graze on that, and then the cattle basically, because of their stomach system, they can graze on the grass. They eat constantly in order to get enough nutrition, and then they've got these, you know, like three stomachs that are able to extract the nutrition out of all that grass that they constantly eat. They even eat in the middle of the night, by the way. They're able to extract that, and then it puts it into the cattle's muscles and their organs. And and it's very nutritious for us as human beings, and so therefore we're able to eat, benefit from that land otherwise that would be basically worthless, just kind of badlands, is a word that you'd apply to sort of a prairie area that. Maybe just it'll sustain grass, and that's about it. And yet, the cow turns that into an edible food. So, you know, but the whole vegetarian thing, I understand what they're doing, because, I don't know. I think there's something about meat that bothers people that are living their lives backwards. There's something about eating meat that really disturbs people that are sort of morally inverted. Vegetarians vegetarianism becomes a religion, a way of, you know, and a sort of a way of feeling better about themselves, you know, because they're empty. You know, you think you're free of your morals. You think you're free of morals and you can just do whatever you want. And that's a formula to be miserable. That's a formula for emptiness. If you really want to be happy, if you really want to find some kind of meaning in your life, that meaning is best found if you can learn to embrace moral self-restraint. But people think it's the other way around, and so they end up empty, feeling empty, and so then they think, well, it's the meat, you know, I'll so they end up doing everything exactly the opposite. And the Bible, actually, if you read the Bible, which I've listened to it, like the audiobook version, there are parts in there where it, in the New Testament, where it tells you, I think it's in the New Testament, it tells you pretty explicitly to eat meat. It's pretty explicit about it. So even they knew back then that there was a tendency for people to think, oh, well, meat might be bad, I'll just eat plants. You know, and these people aren't content just to eat their stupid plants. They want to force everyone else to live the way they do, because they think in their twisted little minds they're still guilty, and they think that if they can force everybody to do it, that it's going to make it normal, and then suddenly they're going to have meaning in their life. That's always the twisted thinking that people, that morally inverted people have. They think that if they can just force everyone else to do it, that it's going to make them feel better. It's going to give their lives meaning. And of course it doesn't. They're just trying to force everyone to be as miserable as they are. But they don't see it that way. So they think they're going to just engineer utopia. So I wouldn't touch that stupid so-called impossible burger. I wouldn't eat one of those. I don't care how much they tried to pay me. God only knows what chemicals they've used in order to push the thing out. You know, and like I say, one of the ingredients is soy, and I stay away from soy. Soy is bad. So, anyway, I think I better be cutting this off. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.